listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Let's get it. Fox Football Sunday off and pacing. That means we're less than 4 hours away from kickoff in the early games. You get the adrenaline pumping. Maybe you got the grill going wherever you are. Maybe you're heading to a tailgate. Maybe you're just waking up because you like the sound of our voices. I don't know. Whatever it is, thanks for hanging out with us here on a Sunday morning. Week four already. We waited all that long off season, and now we're already finishing the first quarter of this NFL campaign. And for some teams, their first what you'd call real tests, some real football analysis to come, as opposed to, all right, they played another edition of The Walking Dead. I don't know. It's the Halloween season, so we'll extend it out a little bit more. Mike Harmon alongside NFL veteran George Reister here for another week. George, we had a dandy to just pin the Thursday game really quickly. Aaron Rodgers showing, hey, I can still put up some stats against a bad beat-up secondary of the Eagles. But Carson Wentz saying, I'm not dead yet, and but for a couple of drop passes in other weeks, we could be talking about a 4-0 team, but ifs and buts and everything else, here we go. We at least got a dandy on Thursday night.
If and ands was pots and pans, the whole world would be a kitchen, Mike.
Now you're going. I like that.
So the Packers, I'm wondering, though, so Aaron Rodgers had not put up a great stat line at all this year yet, but then this game comes out, 422 yards, a couple touchdowns, and there was so much throwing. Threw the ball 53 times. So I'm wondering how much of this was about ego and him having a good game, because, you know, he's hearing other names being mentioned around the league. The Kyler Murrays are coming up. You got Patrick Mahomes. Is he the best quarterback ever in terms of arm talent and ability instead of Aaron Rodgers? So you know that he wanted to go out and put on a show. But at the end of the game, the Packers just didn't get it done. I mean, and you had Carson Wentz, his team, play better. But to me, this was an obvious game to me to a pick. I knew that the Packers would play better, but they came in 3-0, and we all believe that the Eagles are a good team.
Right.
But they came in 1-2, and you know good teams don't really fall to that 1-3 mark. So even when they have a tough game, you have to point to that as a game that they'll win, because they know the importance and the relevance of it in terms of – because coaches, they break the season down in quarters. They're like, okay, the first quarter of the season, the first four games, and then so on and so forth. So you got four quarters of the season. And if you can finish the first quarter – you know, 2-2, 3-1, you've had a success. And if you can do that every single quarter, then you have the playoffs in your future.
That's it. So we got to watch the Eagles with a win. They were an easy pick, I think, plus the four. So certainly on that side of things, you came away feeling good. Jordan Howard showing why he was a better pickup than a sixth-round pick. Seems like the Bears may have undersold in terms of that, even at the running back position, but two rushing touchdowns, the receiving touchdown between he and Miles Sanders, took advantage of a defense that everybody said after 3 weeks, George, I was kept hearing, this is a Super Bowl worthy defense. And I kept raising my hand going, no, bum slaying.
No, I mean, they still could be, but because we've seen some high scoring Super Bowls and we're looking at two good teams. I think the biggest changing point for the Eagles is that they got Jordan Howard the football. He didn't go over 100 yards, but he finished with 15 carries, 87 yards, and two touchdowns, and they showed a pulse running the football and a little bit of consistency. And that's where the Eagles have been lacking. So many people were saying, okay, why did you trade for Jordan Howard if you weren't going to play him? And now he's looking like, okay. And I think that I'm pretty upset, because I told you I had an opportunity to pick up Jordan Howard in my fantasy league before the game started, because I said, okay, the Eagles haven't been running the ball well. They're going to give Jordan Howard some touches. That's kind of been the buzz around, and I didn't do it. And now he's on the waiver wire, and I got to wait till October 2nd. I got to wait till Tuesday night, and guess how much he's going to cost me in my points.
Out of your free agent acquisition budget, which if you're playing fantasy football, it's the only way to go. The old, hey, I can pick it up because my team stinks and I'm in last place, is garbage to me. You pay for the guy off the waiver wire.
I love that way.
There you go. He's George Reister. You find him on Twitter at George Reister. Find me over at Swollen Dome. We got 14 more beautiful games to get to. First week of byes. They ease you into it this week. You're missing the 49ers and the Jets. So no Le'Veon Bell. Okay. And then we move on. How about that? Because the rest of the guy, I mean, even from San Francisco, as much as they're putting up some offense, no automatic plays other than George Kittle when you're looking at that squad. Injury reports, well, we've got a litany of things going on. You've got Denzel Ward not going to play. You've got Darius Slay, a game-time decision for the Lions. Matthew Stafford, hip pain. Worse as the week goes on. Doesn't need the bacchiotomy, but this one was sitting at a nice, tasty over-under of 55. We'll get into that. The Chargers, I think George and I are hitting a plane immediately after the show to see if we can get there by halftime because nobody's playing. Travis Benjamin out. You've got Mike Williams is out. Justin Jackson in a walking boot. Hunter Henry's gone. Virgil Green's gone. Russell Okung. I mean, that's just the offense for the Chargers. Now, they're playing the Dolphins, still a 2-touchdown favorite. We'll break that game down a little bit later in the show, but certainly a pile of injuries there. And you have Jalen Ramsey made the flight, got back with the team in Jacksonville and took the flight to Denver, but the back still reportedly tight. It's going to be, quote, challenging for him to play.
The funny part about this story is that it's kind of weird timing for all of this because he wants a trade, but at the same time, reports saying he was really sick, then his kid was really being born, and his back is really sore.
That's a trifecta right there, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, okay, is he just angling to get out? But then he made the flight, and the fact that he made the flight showed a couple things. It showed his maturity because he's not willing to blow up his career like Antonio Brown right. did. He's not willing to not show up and be a turd because when you look at what happened to Antonio Brown, guys are looking and saying, wait, hold up. I'm not going to do that. I want out of here, but I'm not going to blow up my entire future and my huge payday because I am unhappy right now. And if I'm the Jaguars, I'm not trading him. I'm not trading him under any circumstances before the draft. I might trade him at draft day, but he's so valuable, and you know he's a guy who wants to play and wants to be out there and wants to get that big money and that recognition, so he's not going to want to sit out.
One more year on his contract. And let's face it, that division, nobody's running away and hiding. They're going to cannibalize the entire. Yep. Tennessee's just good enough to screw things up. Houston, we watched them struggle against Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yep.
Eking out a narrow victory, the 2-point conversion, everything else, the fight with Doug Marrone that followed. But you're looking in Indianapolis, they've got injury issues. As much as we like Jacoby Brissett.
I told you last week.
And I texted back and forth going, dude hasn't missed a throw.
Yep.
It's like, so a lot of fun. I mean, I banged the drum for him after Luck retired going, they'll be just fine. Now he signed a deal that maybe in hindsight, I mean, he wanted some security. But yeah. Now you're looking at it, you'd be getting paid like a legitimate starter after the season.
He still will, though.
That they'll make right by him in the end?
Oh, for sure. Because they don't want that problem. You know, they tied him up and giving him that contract also, it made him happy, but it also sent a message to everybody in the team and the organization, like, we believe in Jacoby. But then at the same time, it was like, listen, this is a starter contract. This is just to give you that financial security. And once you outperform this, then we're going to give up the ducats because they have to. But to go back to the Jalen Ramsey thing, I mean, what do you trade this dude for? And where you said he's only got one more year on his contract, but the Jaguars can control his rights till 2023.
Yep.
So you don't want to get in a mudslinging contest with teams when you're on your rookie deal because they have so much control.
Sooner or later, Shot Khan's going to be walking around with a Jalen Ramsey tie and suit when it's all said and done. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit Geico.com. Get yourself a free rate quote. It's time to start rolling up the games.
Lady, what are you talking?
Browns at Ravens.
All right, first off, we're going to go to our executive producer, Vince Close. He's got some nuggets that we'll be sprinkling in, something as the bye weeks give us a little more flexibility, as it were, something that hit his eye. What's up, Vince?
All right, guys. Got a couple things real quick for you. The Ravens hold a 10-1 series record at home since Jaron Harbaugh has become the head coach. And also, through three games, Lamar Jackson has run the ball 27 times for 172 yards and a TD. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield's running game has been non-existent. He has one carry for -1 yards.
How about that? Thank you. Yeah, Baker's, even in obvious opportunities for Baker, he's reticent to take that. So the stat I like that you gave in terms of the record, right, 10-1, that's Harbaugh against preseason foes, too. So that's how he treats the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, they have been
Bam!
They have been a doormat for everybody until last season. I mean, they weren't even putting up any resistance. They were just token resistance, like Mike Leach says. They were out there because they were paid to be out there. When you look at the rushing stats, though, you don't necessarily in the NFL want your quarterback to have a ton of rushes.
Absolutely.
Unless he is smart enough and has the ability, like the Russell Wilson and like Lamar Jackson, to be able to keep themselves clean because they're able to run but not take big hits. Not unlike a guy like RG3 who ran but was like Wile E. Coyote. He just always found himself in trouble. He couldn't get out of his own way. It was just like slide. I mean, even when he tried to slide, it just wasn't. Some people have that instinct to stay out of trouble, and some people just find it at every turn.
Well, that's where the baseball instincts and baseball training for guys like Russell Wilson. People mock it, right? The old two-sport thing. It's like, what's he want to do? Kyler Murray, we haven't watched him run a lot yet for Arizona, but eventually I have some confidence that he'll know to get down and live to see another day. That's one of the worst things between the college and pro level is watching guys who don't know how to do it, and then they try to slide late, and they get themselves tagged. We see that all the time. Baltimore running the ball effectively. Mark Ingram, fantastic. Gus Edwards behind him as you roll. Baltimore coming in, averaging 511 yards per
game.
That
is insane.
Offensively, almost 37 points per game, right? So bum slaying early.
Yep.
Let's call it what it is. And last week, a loss to the Chiefs, but they fought back after an early deficit. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs doing what they do to teams on the first half of games. But Cleveland still banged up in the secondary. I got to think you got some Hollywood Brown. I think you got some Mark Andrews down the seam, foot getting a little bit better each week. Too much for Baltimore. Cleveland only 16 points per game. Baker still in the news talking to everybody, and he forgot Jarvis Landry's a guy that can move the chains.
Baker Mayfield is more worried about talking to Rex Ryan and talking to everybody else instead of playing football. And yes, some people will say, oh, well, but they came at him first. The reality is there's a code of conduct for NFL quarterbacks. You have to worry about your job first. And here's a media tip 101 for anybody who, whether you're a professional athlete, whether you end up with a video going viral, don't let people know they're bothering you. When they know that they control you and bother you and get you off your game and get you to talk to them and give them great sound bites, which is what the media wants, they will continue to poke you and prod you and jab you, and you will, it will never end. It's just like if you're in a grade school, if you're a grade school kid and somebody comes up with a nickname and they find out it bothers you, what are they going to call you continuously?
Just gonna keep going back to the nickname.
Yep.
It's the same thing in your own house. Right, my older daughter will be like, "Why does the younger pick on me?" It's like, it's affection, but she knows it kind of gets under your skin a little bit.
Mad.
That's it. She's gonna pick on the thing that gets after you. All right, in this game, I'm taking Baltimore, and you know what? Even though we've got a hefty line here, last I saw it was sitting at 7. I'm laying the points with Baltimore. I think they crush them.
I do too. This Baltimore team is as good as advertised. I thought they would win the division, even though so many people picked the Browns. This Browns team looks like they're headed nowhere fast. They look like they're a meaningful foe that you can't just show up and roll your helmets out and win. But this Ravens team looks way too powerful, and Lamar Jackson looks way too explosive. Mark Andrews and other Mark in the backfield. He had 3 touchdowns last week. It was pretty awesome to see. And this Ravens team is going to be a formidable foe and a Super Bowl contender.
Some issues maybe in the secondary you can exploit, but one or two big plays ain't taking this team down. Baltimore across the board for all of us. Coming up next, when we look at the schedule, we've got to figure out what is – George's guy, Marcus Mariota, going to do after 10 days off? Sorry, buddy. We got to go there next. It's Fox Football Sunday here on Fox Sports Radio. There we go. Get your body moving on a Sunday morning. Maybe I should do some wind sprints in the hallways here. Get it rolling. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister. Happy to be with you here. Fox Football Sunday. Our team assembled. Ilo, Chris, and Vince making a sound oh so pretty as we come to you getting ready for week 4 of the National Football League season. Moving so quickly. So quickly. It means it's going to be the holidays before long. Anywhere you go, there's already a lot of Christmas things for purchase. You want to get your tree early, George. You can get that in long before Halloween even shows up. How about that?
Dude, that is insane now. But you know what me and my family did do last year? We went out and instead of just buying a Christmas tree, we went to one of those farms, of those Christmas tree farms, and cut our own tree down. I'm all about that.
And you guys, the teamwork worked? You had it all so like nobody ended up chasing each other around with the saw?
Mom is not letting anybody touch the saw but dad.
Oh.
So.
Here, you pick the tree point. Dad's going to cut it down.
Yeah, exactly. Because we can't have anybody get hurt.
Did they give you a power tool or did you have to go old school axe?
Oh, power tool saw,
too
man.
Bad.
Man, I'm not Paul Bunyan. I have a bad back. Dude, I'm 2 back surgeries in.
No, I know. We watched you last week. We were feeling bad for you as we're sitting here in the Geico studio.
And also, I'm not messing around with axes too much because I don't have history. You know, I haven't been properly taught and don't have enough experience because I was in the locker room.
Oh, no. You told me this story.
Chris Hansen, our punter, Jack Del Rio, put that big old
chopping wood
in there.
Man. Yep.
Keep chopping wood. Yeah, and you put a big thing of wood and a sharp axe in a testosterone filled place, and what's going to happen? People are going to chop the wood. Chris Hansen chopped right through the side, chopped his leg, and he didn't cut his leg off, but he sliced that meat on the side of your thigh. On the side of your shin. Missed the whole rest of the season.
Bad job by him.
So I don't play around with axes.
Amateur.
I see what happens.
You know what though? There's a booming business now in bars having little axe throwing areas.
See, I'm in on axe throwing because you throw it somewhere forward. But the thing I'm not in on axe throwing is alcohol and axe throwing.
Unfortunately, that's the way these operations work. So,
no way. I don't want anything sharp next to somebody drinking.
The backswing, and all of a sudden we got problems.
Or somebody gets in an argument. You get in an argument with somebody there, and you have a deadly weapon in your hands.
Yeah, no betting over axe throwing with
Thank
George.
You.
At George Reister on Twitter. You got me at Swollen Dome. Hey, you want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically. With no limit as to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cash Back Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashbackmatch. All right, let's get back into the games.
Titans
and Falcons.
All right, I teased it. It's your guy, Marcus Mariota, my hero. Delanie Walker still getting it done. He's going to have himself a big day today. And, well, when you go through it, that's one of the weaknesses of the Atlanta defense. Is 7th most targets already, 2 tight ends, 27. So that's an area that can be exploited. 17 receptions thus far. Tennessee averaging about 22 points per game. Over 113 rushing, so you're looking for Derrick Henry to try to have a piece here. Atlanta struggling to run the ball, and right now sitting at 20 points scored per game. With all that high-octane receiving core and the energy, when you talk about Hooper, I mean, he drives the boat, but he's also a great tight end. You got Jones and Ridley, and you're averaging 20 points per game. Matt Ryan, just a guy. But Tennessee, coming off that huge loss to the Jaguars. We've been waiting for them to get back into action. Marcus Mariota, people were banging the drum after that game again. George saying, Ryan Tannehill! And I said, why? We know what Ryan Tannehill is. But for Marcus Mariota on the road, I don't trust Atlanta. I just don't.
How can you trust a team that has so many big name, big stat putting up guys? How can you put up this many stats? I mean, Julio Jones is killing it already this season. Matt Ryan is putting up good numbers. and you're only putting up 20 points a game.
Because Matt Ryan's getting intercepted when he needs to make a completion and make a big throw.
Could there be any worse fan base to be a part of right now than the Atlanta Falcons? And not because the team is bad. Okay. It's just
I was going to name about six of them, but go keep going.
It's because there's so much hope, and they constantly let you down. If you're the fan of the Jets, you don't have high expectations right now. They can't let you down. If you're the Falcons, you're looking at this team, wow, we have so many great players. We're going to be great. It was just because we were injured last year. And they're 1-2 right now. This is a game I do not trust the Falcons at all. And the Tennessee Titans, this is the games they win. They go out and they beat the Patriots last year. They go out and they start the season off well, beating Cleveland, just beating them up bad. And then they come and then drop a game to Indianapolis, drop a game to Gardner Minshew that they should win. And they look bad, and it's so perplexing. And Mark Henry, they're getting well. Mark
Derrick Henry, when are we going? WWE, the strongest man in the world. Look, WWE coming to Fox on Friday night. Excited for SmackDown. Part of the Fox family. I can't wait to have those guys walking through the hallways.
I love
here.
Wrestling so much. I used to root for Jerry the King Lawler
back
in Memphis when I used to watch wrestling. But Derrick Henry, I was not a believer in him because Alabama running backs have come into the league and just been pretty average.
Usually chewed up.
And he's so big, he looks kind of slow and lumbering. But when he gets started, it gets ahead of steam. It's hard for guys to catch him as well. And the Tennessee offense kind of runs through him. The better that he runs, the better that their offense kind of flows. They need to spread it out, though. Let Marcus Mariota have some space, man. I feel bad for the dude. You know, he is the modern day, well, the 2019 version of Alex Smith. He's a guy who's had a bunch of offensive coordinators, still a good quarterback, and once he gets some stability in his offensive coordinator play and head coach, he will go out and be a really good quarterback.
All right, we're looking at the odds for the day. +3.5 Tennessee. I think we're both on this feels like a Titans win side, so I'm just going to pencil that across the board. On upset alert, there we have it.
Big facts.
Falcons. Let's see what you got at home. All right, we're falling behind. We're waxing poetically about axe throwing. We need to catch up. But first, we're going to go to Isaac Lowenkron, and we're going to find out what's trending.
Well, axe throwing was actually my lead, so I'll have to alter that. Good morning, Michael and George.
Hey, buddy.
We start with the NFL in the stead of axe throwing. Ian Rappaport reporting that Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, a late addition to their injury report with a hip injury, is expected to play against the Chiefs today. Cornerback Darius Slay, however, a game-time decision with a hamstring injury. The Chiefs are 7-point favorites, according to pregame.com. Rappaport also reporting Chargers running back Melvin Gordon will be active today against the Dolphins, but will likely be used only in an emergency situation and in limited snaps at most. Chargers are a 14.5-point favorite. In college football Saturday night, 19th-ranked Utah blew out Washington State 38-13. After the game, Washington State's eccentric head coach Mike Leach, furious at his team, called them, quote, fat, dumb, happy, and entitled.
Unquote. Yeah!
Sounds like me in the aftermath of Thanksgiving dinner. In Major League Baseball Saturday night, Justin Verlander of the Astros reached 3,000 strikeouts for his career and 300 strikeouts for the season in their 6-3 win over the Angels. Mets rookie Pete Alonso set a Major League record for home runs by a rookie with his 53rd of the season in their 3-0 win over the Braves, breaking Aaron Judge's record from 2017. And the Dodgers defeated the Giants 2-0 for their 105th victory, tying the franchise record held by the 1953 Brooklyn Dodgers, a.k.a. the Boys of Summer. Back to Michael Harmon and George Reister in 10 seconds, but first, a word from Farmers.
Farmers Insurance knows the difference between a car hitting your bumper and a clown car hitting your bumper.
Whoa. Sorry about that!
Because at Farmers, we've seen and covered it.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges, and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All yours, guys.
Thank you, Ilo. Go back to axe throwing. Exactly. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday. Let's get back into the games.
Lady, what are you talking?
Buccaneers at Rams.
All right, we weren't going to spend a ton of time here. You've got Evans, you got Godwin. You got Ronald Jones emerging a little bit. Jameis Winston, inconsistent. On the other side, the Rams. It's Cooper Kupp. Todd Gurley still in a limited fashion. And while this team hasn't been pretty, they've been imperfect, they're still 3-0. Your Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, I'm going to play Ronald Jones today. I think that this is an opportunity for him to break out. Nobody else is doing anything. But on the other side, you got the Rams. Doesn't this feel like an opportunity for them to break out, for their offense to get on track against a defense that has not been great at all? And my question for the Rams is this: when are they going to stop lying to us and telling us Todd Gurley's healthy? He's not. He looks timid. He's clearly not running with the same spunk and pizzazz as he has throughout his career. But they keep telling us, oh, he's healthy. No, he's not. And at this point in time, he hasn't looked special at all. And I think that you want to see this Sean McVay offense get going. Jared Goff didn't have a great game last week at Cleveland. He's only thrown 4 touchdowns, 3 interception passes. The Rams defense should have a good day against Jameis Winston. He's thrown a couple pick sixes already this year. And if you're the Rams, you can't drop this game. This is a confidence building game. And I like the Rams, but I don't like them getting covering 9 points.
Too many points against this team. Because Jameis Winston has no conscience at this point.
And he always comes back late.
He's just going to keep throwing the ball. That's right.
Even if he has to throw the ball 55 times, he will do it. Even if he throws 2 pick sixes, he'll do it.
Yeah, but we keep seeing quarterbacks throwing the ball 55 times a game, and we have no idea why. They have a running back. You can run the football. But yes, the Rams, Todd Gurley, that knee, I'm still questioning exactly where they're at. You could tell me it's on a pitch count. You could tell me it's slow. They've needed him a lot more. Jared Goff, after the extension, Sean McVay's there. You know, I love it's a great love fest. Jared Goff has been anything but consistent and solid through the first 3 weeks of the season. For what they've made him as the franchise guy.
Be careful
guy,
who you
struggling.
Pay, buddy.
No,
be careful those checks you write.
Well, it's always, you know, you say system quarterback and people get mad. If Sean McVay is a genius, he could probably do it with somebody else. Next!
The lady! What did you say?
Patriots and Bills.
I'm going to say this delicately because it's a Sunday morning. The most interesting thing is to see how many people are able to smuggle toys into the game. That's it. Buffalo, I'm excited about Josh Allen in the first 3 weeks. I know you're not a fan, to say the least. But we look at this game, you're talking about a 7-point spread, so one that's kind of stayed consistent even from the opening bell when this got up. Edelman expected to play, chest injury. You got James White coming back. Congratulations to him on the birth of another child. As Bill Belichick said, we obviously were pumping him out. It was the quote that he had the other day because Kyle Van Noy back in week one.
Yep.
But we look at what New England is right now. You've got the three-headed monster in the backfield. You've got ample wide receiving options. Philip Dorsett. I don't think anything's touched the ground that's been thrown his way.
Yeah,
in 7 or 8 weeks. He's
having
a resurgence of
his career.
Yeah, a guy that kind of got lost in the shuffle in Indianapolis here. Well, Antonio Brown not being available certainly helped his value. Good red zone receiver as well. No Gronk, so those targets get deployed elsewhere. I think the Patriots win, and they win convincingly to send a message.
Even though Julian Edelman and Rex Burkhead are questionable and may not play, it's not going to matter. And I have never, I'll repeat this, never rooted for the New England Patriots. But today, against the Buffalo Bills, I want all this Josh Allen talk stopped. It's not Josh Allen. It is the team. Frank Gore is the ageless wonder.
Yes.
He might mess around and play long enough to break Emmitt Smith's all-time rushing record. It is crazy how long this man has been able to play, especially at the University of Miami, having a bunch of knee injuries, and people say, oh, he'll never be the same. He won't be anything. Yeah, right. He's only pumped out like a 16-year NFL career. It's been pretty fantastic. But you do have to honestly give credit to the Buffalo Bills. Their defense has been outstanding. They've given up 16, 14, and 17 points. But I still think that this New England Patriots team is going to be the best defense in the National Football League this year, but Tom Brady is going to put up points, and the Bills, they just don't have the offensive firepower with Josh Allen. And you're going to really see what he's made of today, because Bill Belichick takes away what you do the best. And that is the running game for the Bills and trying to stay in third and manageable and keep Josh Allen in easy throwing possessions. And now the Patriots, they're going to win this game. And I like him to cover the 7 points.
Yep, looking at it the same way, giving up fewer than 200 passing yards per game, 36 yards per game on the ground. You go back to what they did week one. Everybody's like, ah, oh, no, they haven't given up a touchdown.
Yeah, going it's back, incredible.
Going back to the Super Bowl. Next game.
The lady, what a touch.
Redskins at Giants.
Now we're talking about some intrigue, right? Case Keenum left for dead last week. A couple of touchdown passes late, but in the end, he got beat up pretty good by the Bears defense. Everybody's saying, "When's Dwayne Haskins coming in?" No, you are not putting him in against a Bears defense that was teeing off. No chance there. He's ready. Keenum will answer the bell against a bad Giants secondary. Terry McLaurin, we gave him Diaz a sleeper before the season. He's getting it done week in, week out. He was on the injury report, but just as a precaution, Paul Richardson's still a guy I'd be looking at if I'm in a deeper league. Maybe get hit, you know, by some injuries that I'd be looking at against this Giants secondary. Jordan Reed out again. We hope for his long-term just health. Poor guy's been beat up for a long, long time. Obviously, for the Giants, the big news last week, not just that Daniel Jones led them to a win over Tampa, running, throwing the ball, making some big plays, but Saquon Barkley out 6 weeks, perhaps longer. Wayne Gallman became the must-play, the must-start.
The Clemson man.
Washington, right? And against Washington, you got a spot. Like, they're only giving up 48 rushing yards per game. But when we have that stat, remember, teams are moving the football on them. They're giving up almost 400 yards of offense. They made the Bears look competent last week. So, that said, Wayne Gallman, get after it.
Oh, for sure. He's definitely a must play this week. But the Redskins, though, everybody, like you said, was clamoring for Dwayne Haskins. Put him in. No. That would have been a feeding frenzy. I almost felt bad for Case Keenum last week because it felt like one of those baseball games where the team is trying to save their bullpen when they're down 22-1.
Just take your beating.
Yep. And they leave one pitcher in to just get rocked, and they won't take him out under any circumstances. That's who Case Keenum was. But I am surprised that they did not put in Haskins to face the New York football Giants because this is a good matchup.
Right.
Because last week, Daniel Jones came in. The team got a big boost. They got a win. Even though it was late, they got a win for him. And how many times do we see when there's a changing of the guard, there is a kind of energy around the team, and then the next week they kind of come back down to earth. And if they were playing anybody better, I would probably be very confident in whoever that team is beating the Giants. But because this is the Washington Daniel Snyders, this team is not. They're just in such dysfunction. They're even in dysfunction with their players and Trent Williams. But with all that said, I'm still picking them to beat the Giants.
You're going to take the Redskins with the three-point underdogs here taking the upset special. I think they're going to be able to run the football with Adrian Peterson, giving up about 128 yards per game. Are the Giants, again, massive yardage, giving up 31 points per game. But I am going to take the Giants to win, but they are not covering. This is a one-point, two-point, last possession, ugly game.
This feels like a push for you. Since you're taking the Giants, it feels they're going to kick a field goal and they're going to win by 3 points.
One more play. That's it. That's all it takes. All right, we get back into the games. We still have Raiders, Colts, and a whole other slew of games to come. But reminder that we are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. Fox Football Sunday continues. Welcome back in, Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister. Thanks for hanging out with us. You find George always with an opinion, always strong, at George Reister. You want to know about the Pac-12, college football, and a man who's unafraid. Yeah, that's what it's called, Unafraid Show.
Yep.
George Reister, that's your guy. You find me over at Swollen Dome yelling weeknights alongside Jason Smith about the wonderful world of sports and the chaos and the number of guys that find their way into social media. I'm one of them, too. They haven't blocked me yet, but it's coming soon, I'm sure, at Swollen Dome. All right, let's get back into the games. We got to catch up.
The lady, what did you say?
Raiders at Colts.
The Oakland Raiders, Dwayne Harris is out. Gabe Jackson is out guard for the Colts. A couple of big injuries for you. Malik Hooker, the safety, is out with a knee injury. Darius Leonard, still concussion. He is out. And you've got, with the quad injury, gave you some good returns last week before leaving, but T.Y. Hilton listed as doubtful. So let's just assume for the moment he's not going to play. More Jack Doyle, more Eric Ebron, and a lot of Marlon Mack. Jacoby Brissett was magnificent a week ago. You want to talk about operational efficiency, hitting on his first 16 pass attempts week in, week out, marveling at what he's able to do. And you're looking at a team that's putting up 23 points per game, 348 total yards per game, good balance, about 200 in the air, 150 on the ground against your Oakland Raiders. Ever since that week one victory,
they're not my Oakland Raiders. They're my wife's Oakland Raiders.
America wanted to embrace the Oakland Raiders.
No, they – who? Who? Like, at what?
Because John Gruden's entertaining. That's why.
John Gruden is entertaining. Because they're going to Las Vegas. But at what point in time has John Gruden proven that he's a great football coach?
Well, I've asked that question for a long time, George. It's become the chicken or the egg kind of thing, where nobody has a real answer as to why he's been declared a genius all these times.
It's because when you are on TV, people think you are a genius. And even in his draft coverage, this is the same guy that swore up and down that Nathan Peterman was the second coming of Tom Brady.
Now here's the thing, George. We always talk about, because we were talking about Rex and Baker the other day, Jason and I. It comes down to, any guy that was doing the job like Gruden was had one foot still back in the door. It was just a question of time and opportunity.
Yep.
Because he criticized nobody.
Yeah.
He would have told you I was a great quarterback if you'd put my name up just on a board.
You are right about that, because
he criticized nobody.
That's a good point. When he would do his QB things, everybody was a great quarterback. Oh, this guy's going to get it done. This guy. In reality, everybody can't get it done. You got to make a choice. John Gruden is a good personality. He's good at analyzing football. But when you look at this team, the best thing the Oakland Raiders have going for them is Mike Mayock. He seems like a competent GM, because before that, they were making insane moves. The Khalil Mack move looks awful right now. The Amari Cooper move looks awful
right now.
That one
even looks even worse. But, yeah. I mean, they got a first-round pick for him, which at the time, it seemed like an appropriate.
First-round picks are just maybes.
No, but they're lottery tickets. We've talked about it forever, right? Draft picks, suspects.
So you want to give John Gruden a bunch of picks when he doesn't evaluate talent well?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, not
you
me.
Need the known quantity.
No, not well, but Amari wasn't necessarily a known quantity at the
give
time.
Give me the Colts.
He didn't look like he wanted to be there.
Give me the Colts. Give me -6.5.
You're going to take him to cover?
I like Jacoby Brissett to have another big game. The Raiders are toothless right now.
All right, I'm going to take Indy to win, but I'm going to take Oakland with the backdoor touchdown to beat the spread late. Next!
The lady, what did you
say? Panthers at Texans.
Kyle Allen coming in, winging the ball around. You got to love it. Got to love it. Greg Olsen, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, and obviously Christian McCaffrey, a team that got that jolt of life, as you said. Cam Newton, not the Cam Newton of old. Hang up the hat and the scarf. You got a guy that comes in and gets them to perform at peak efficiency. He's averaging 26 points per game. Overall, you look at the run game, you got back to basics. Houston on the other side still has some issues. We're still, the offensive line still trying to get itself together as we roll. DeAndre Hopkins, all world, but even he can be contained. 5.5 is the number. What say you, George, as we run up against the clock?
I got the Houston Texans. I believe in Deshaun Watson. I don't believe in his offensive line, but this is a team in the Carolina Panthers that's trending in the wrong direction. Their quarterback is on YouTube smoking cigars with an ascot and a weird hat on.
That was between two ferns, Cam Newton edition. That's exactly what that was. Otherwise, you needed a guy just standing there with a stand-up base. All right, so you got Houston winning. Are they covering?
Yes, they covered the 5 points. Kyle Allen has a good game, but he comes back down to earth.
All right, I will take them to win, but not to cover. I'll take Carolina plus the point. Hey, want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit as to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back match. Discover cash back match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashbackmatch.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome back in. Fox Football Sunday. Having some fun with you. Oh, so fired up. 3 hours from kickoff. Week 4 of the NFL. Now we start getting into the... Have we been hoodwinked through 3 weeks, through a couple of teams, right? You're seeing the difference in schedules. Maybe you've done some bum slaying along the way and gotten your team off to a hot start. But now maybe you're getting some sweaty palms, wondering if you're for real, and maybe some tests today. We're going through game by game and having some fun with you. He's George Reister, NFL veteran, or proud Oregon Duck, at George Reister. Also, Unafraid Show, and you follow him on Twitter, you're going to get all the goodness. And a man who is not afraid to give you an opinion, as his podcast and his show would tell you. So it's an honor to have him in. Because we cut through the chase. There's no cut to the chase. There's no hyperbole.
No,
and fluffy language.
We got to tell it like it is, because if you don't, then people will come back and say, oh, well, how come you didn't say that? Well, guess, yeah, that's what we gave it to you. Sometimes you don't like to hear it. And sometimes teams, people, players, they prove you wrong. And I always base things in terms of ranking teams on three criteria: the schedule that they've played, the dominance that they've showed, and the quality wins that they have. And when you do that and don't try to project what they can be out into the future, just take the knowledge that you have at that point in time. It's hard to be wrong.
I like that. Just getting down. I mean, you might as well chop that off and make that an intro to your life as you roll through. At George Reister, at Swollen Dome is where you find me. Yeah, there's just so much going on, so many injuries that the notes are flying like the end of a cable movie as the new one starts. There's just so many. Akeem Nicks, who didn't practice this week, he was going to be out for the Bears, so you're going to miss a big run stuff. We'll get into Minnesota, Chicago coming up a little bit later. We already know about Saquon Barkley. You've got T.Y. Hilton with the quad injury. He's just walking wounded game by game. Detroit, Matthew Stafford with the hip injury.
The hip, the back, the everything.
I mean, they got to use duct tape at this point.
Yeah, there's so many players that are just injured, but it also provides opportunity for new blood to come in and people for you to root for. Like, obviously, there's so many people that are excited to see what Kyler Murray is going to do. He's been kind of living up to the hype so far, even though Arizona is not a good football team at this point in time. They're 0-2-1. But the guy that I'm pointing to that has a career and that may put a monkey wrench in what the Jaguars were going to do is Gardner Minshew. Like, he's a guy who has come in. He's not playing like a rookie. And remember, Nick Foles is not Tom Brady. He doesn't have that, even though that he's been to the Super Bowl. He went to the Super Bowl once, won it, took the Eagles deep in the playoffs last year too. He doesn't have that guaranteed get your spot back kind of play, even though that his contract says so in Jacksonville. And Gardner Minshew is becoming a fan favorite in Jacksonville, and he's also winning football games. So this is going to be something to look forward to throughout the season.
Yeah, as long as he keeps playing well, hard to see them benching him. But we'll get to Jacksonville, Denver, the hapless Denver Broncos. Move the ball, don't finish the job. Denver Broncos in a few minutes. We're coming to you live from the...
That's what you get with Flacco, buddy.
Well, he moved the ball, and you got a couple of good wideouts and a good running back, but they're not finishing drives. It's Brandon McManus for the win, fantasy owners. Coming to you live for the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Go to geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. One of the tests coming up in week four that I'm waiting to see, well, that's our next game.
The lady, what did you touch me?
Cowboys and Saints.
Yeah, let's get after it. Your Dallas Cowboys, I'm talking America's team.
I'll take them.
America's team. Dak Prescott putting up crazy numbers. Ezekiel Elliott, no rust on him. 32 points per game on average right now. Amari Cooper getting things done. Jason Witten, that year in the broadcast booth, might not have looked good on tape. He did not put good tape on Monday Night Football, but you know what? It revived him. He's back and running down the seam. Sure, he's in slow motion, but they almost are incredulous, and they want to watch it come to fruition. So he finds his space in the zone. You got your offensive line still working at peak efficiency. Defensively, ninth against the run. Again, when you're scoring 32 points per game, teams are passing the ball. So always hang a star
for sure
as to how good a team's run defense is, because they're going to be tested today. New Orleans. And what we saw last week, Teddy Bridgewater, look, he's not going to push the ball downfield. I think he had two pass attempts beyond 9 yards.
I think that'll change this week because Sean Payton is a good coach, and he knows that that's going to cause the Dallas cornerbacks and linebackers to sit on routes.
Start sucking up and sitting on routes.
Oh, yeah. Expect some big plays from this team. Expect some big plays from the Saints. They're not going to go down easy. Expect Michael Thomas to have some big plays over the top, Ted Ginn Jr., some of these guys to be trying to take the top off. But here's the thing that I notice about this game. Obviously, Drew Brees is out, but it hasn't lost any of its luster. Both of these teams are still good. They're still fighting for playoff spots and fighting, and they're going to be fighting for first round byes in the playoffs. But the Dallas Cowboys, there is one word that describes the Dallas Cowboys this year. That is functional. They are no longer the dysfunctional Dallas Cowboys that we're used to and accustomed to ripping. There's nobody in trouble. There's nobody causing there's no dissension. Everybody is happy.
It's just
happy.
Wrong, George. Yeah. It's wrong. Where's my extra headline?
It doesn't feel right. But Dak Prescott, I love what he's doing. He is taking the Julio Jones route to getting paid. He's saying, all right, look, I'm going to show up, but guess what? I'm going to play well, and every single week you know the Dallas Cowboys are going at him with a new offer. They're saying, Dak, okay, we tried to give you 30. Now you're at 920 passing yards, like 75% completion rate, 9 touchdowns, 2 picks. Can we please give you 35? No, Dak's saying, nope, talk to me after the season. I love guys that are prepared and bet on themselves because success happens when preparation meets opportunity, and that creates some great luck for Dak Prescott right now, and the Dallas Cowboys are the beneficiaries of it. But the thing that we do have to learn about them, though, Mike, is are they as good as their record? They're 3-0, but they beat the Giants, the Washington Redskins, and the Miami Dolphins.
Three bums. No, I mean, that's just it. This is the first test against a solid team. And while Teddy Bridgewater is not going to do the same things offensively necessarily as Drew Brees, and you're missing Tre'Quan Smith, but Ted Ginn's become, as you used the word, functional. Ted
yep.
Ginn just used to be a speed guy
yeah.
and a return guy. Ted Ginn's become a pretty good receiver the last 2-3 years.
He's a threat now.
So now you have a threat so Bridgewater can push downfield. Alvin Kamara last week touched the ball on half of their offensive plays. I would expect to see a lot of him, a little more of Latavius Murray, some balance. I'm taking New Orleans, the slight home upset, +2.5.
Wow, really?
I'm taking them to win it outright.
They are really good within that dome, but I'm going to go on the opposite side. I'm going to say I believe in the Cowboys. I grew up when I was younger. I was a Cowboy fan when I was younger. But after I got in college, the league, I got this love-hate relationship with
sure.
them. Like, I love the dysfunction. I love to laugh at them, even though that they are a good team. But I'm taking them to win today, buddy. I'm taking them to win and cover that 2.5 points.
You know why I hated them
why?
Growing up? So growing up in Chicago. I mean, I got the Bears and then whatever the other game was, and it was Dallas or San Francisco every week. So I grew up hating those two teams. Show me the rest of the NFL. I'm tired of these two teams. I understand how television works as I'm an older man and I'm in the business. I understand. Sell, sell, sell.
It's better
now,
though.
But at the time, it was like, get off my TV. Let me see one of these other teams whose names just scroll on the bottom, you know, at the 10-minute ticker. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday. Next game.
Lady, what do you think?
Chiefs and Lions.
Now we're talking. Vince, I think you have one or two nuggets for us for this one.
Yep, real quick. So in 22 career starts, the Chiefs have never scored fewer than 26 points with Mahomes as quarterback. And the Chiefs are 3-0 against the spread this year. According to the Action Network, the Chiefs are the most lopsided bet of the weekend slate, with 82% of the public bettors laying the 7 points and taking KC.
Wow. Wow, that's a lot of action. Thanks. Executive producer Vince Close. We've got Chris Perfett on the board. And, of course, Isaac Lohenkron on our updates. Got to make sure we give them the love as part of our team, making us sound so pretty. Those are some staggering numbers here. The Matthew Stafford injury, because I was really loving the Lions early in the week. Just they've been playing bend, don't break, right? Year of living dangerously, giving up a lot of yardage, making plays. But then Darius Slay also on the injury
report. And you don't want your DBs out when you got Mahomes slinging the ball around like that.
And Darius Slay, a guy that, look, I know nationally a lot of folks don't watch the Lions. This is one of the best defensive players we've seen this, last 5 years or whatever.
Yeah,
he's come into
his
own. And this is a spotlight game, and unfortunately probably not going to go. We'll wait till game time to see as the morning progresses. And that's the thing. It's like I was liking it. Certainly the over-under, when it's sitting at 55, you get excited. Like, we're going to see some fireworks.
You forgot what you said, though. You said the Lions are just good enough to mess stuff
up. No, that's right.
That means they're not good enough to be elite, and the Kansas City Chiefs are elite. And I
can't hope for 1 week.
No.
I mean, I'm talking over 16 weeks. They're good enough to mess things up. But we can all be heroes just for one day. That's what David Bowie taught us.
They would be in the elite category if they win this game. They won't be just good enough to mess stuff up. This is Patrick Mahomes' first game in a dome.
Yeah, I know.
Think about
this.
That's
the scary thing. 26 plus per game.
He's never even played in a dome. He's been playing in nasty weather in Kansas City a lot of times, and also in Denver. And he doesn't care. His arm is weatherproof. This dude's entire game is weatherproof. His confidence is on max. And I said it on the Odd Couple when I was in the hot seat. I said Patrick Mahomes. Talent-wise, in terms of arm talent, ability, all these things, which people think that Aaron Rodgers is the greatest of all time in that area. In terms of arm.
Not this guy.
And I said Patrick Mahomes is better than Aaron Rodgers was, is, or ever will be in terms of talent-wise, accuracy, arm talent. I mean, and that's not a knock, because Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest of all time at that. Just being able to sling the ball around, direct the offense, and Mahomes has cemented himself as elite right now. A guy that you can put the ball in his hands and say, we need you to win the game. And that's why Kansas City's defense doesn't need to be fantastic. They need to be serviceable. They need to get timely stops. Tom Brady has 3 Super Bowls with teams that didn't have great defenses. So guess what Patrick Mahomes can do? I'm all over this dude right now. I'm all over Kansas City. And this is must-see TV. He is the face of the league right now.
Yeah, even with no Eric Fisher getting the job done last week against Baltimore, Damian Williams is still out. 6.5, so you're laying the points and just moving on.
Oh, yeah. And imagine when Tyreek Hill comes back.
I know. You got Mecole Hardman. You've got Sammy Watkins. Yeah, you got depth all around. DeMarcus Robinson. You got him. You're playing him, especially if Slay's not there to keep things balanced. As much as I like this squad and was leaning early in the week, these late week injuries, no chance, because I don't know that outside. I know Chris can. The backup quarterback in Detroit for 100, Alex. That's basically where we're at right now. So
because Stafford may not make it through the game.
No, and that's the question, right? With a hip injury, and we know the back has long been an issue that you might not be able to get through. And even if I like the bookends against and Kansas City's defense, I don't know where I'm at on them. They're not elite, but they're certainly not as bad as they were a year ago.
Correct.
Somewhere in between. And when you're playing with a lead, you're pinning your ears back, and that's a bad sign for your signal caller. All right, well, I think we're both in agreement. We'll go with KC. Coming up next, we'll turn back to the NFC North and a battle. Well, everybody's at least 2-1 or 2-0-1 in the division. We start to get some separation, and yeah, we talk Jags Broncos for about a minute and a half. Well, that's about what we'll give it here in a minute. But it's Fox Football Sunday. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio. Stay with us. Hey, halftime 2020. Which means you'll see Jennifer Lopez, Shakira, and I know Pitbull will be there with his glove. I'm surprised the glove industry hasn't really taken off. And that, and everybody should be walking around wearing white suits and sunglasses like we're in Miami Vice. Once again, he's George Reister. Maybe that'll be his outfit next week.
No, Michael Jackson started that. Like, you can't give, like, Pitbull just took something that Michael Jackson did and is doing it all over again. And we're like, oh, he's the glove guy. Yeah,
hey,
nah.
Hey, everything old is new again, right? Watch TV.
That doesn't
How
mean
many
you
are
invented
remakes?
It.
Doesn't mean he invented it. But right now, there's a lot of kids that are 15 years old. Michael Jackson's just some guy that once was, and Pitbull's their guy. It's just reality,
stop.
George.
You have to recognize the past. If you don't teach your kids the history of music,
who
and
does,
you let
though?
Them just-
I try. Some people try. Some people don't. Here's the whatever the beatbox is or synthesizer and just move on.
You sound
on.
Really old right now.
I felt really old. But it's electronic music. There's not a guy actually with instrumentation.
Yeah.
I've gone to concerts where a guy walks out with a laptop. And then people are pretending like they're singing and dancing.
That's what DJing is.
Where's a guitar? How about a drum kit? Pretend.
No, man. It's the same way in the NFL, NBA, all of this. Like, they think that people invented things. They look at, even Patrick Mahomes. He's not the original gunslinger. He's just the updated, new, better version.
That's right. Bigger, faster, stronger. But that's what we do in movies and TV. So people know what they know, and you say, hey, that's a nod to this, or it's actually a remake. That's a remake? Really? How many songs go on the radio? And it's like, that's a remake of something from 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Or they sample something from 40 years ago.
I had to teach my kid
about
sampling.
Nobody has any idea.
I had to teach my kid about sampling. He thought all these people were coming up with original music. I was like, no, son, let me play the original for you.
Yeah, as long as they actually do the contracts and those guys get paid, that's the key.
Yep, correct.
Otherwise, they just need to keep suing. Litigious we are here on Fox Football Sunday. George Reister with me. I'm Mike Harmon. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Sunday morning. Let's get back into the games.
The lady, what did you say?
Vikings and Bears.
Here we go. Defense and more defense. That's what we're looking at here. Teams giving up. Minnesota at 15.7 points allowed per game. Bears at only scoring 16.7 points. And that's after a barrage against Washington in week 3. Hicks is out for the Bears on the D-line. That is not good. He's your run stuffer. Dalvin Cook should have some room to operate. But it all comes down to, in a game in Chicago, how much do you trust Kirk Cousins? Because my answer is less than zero.
That's your question for this game? How much do you trust Kirk Cousins?
Sure.
How about the question being, how much do you trust Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, we already know that. I thought we assumed that away, George.
Yeah, but you are letting your Bears fandom get in the way right here, because if you're taking quarterbacks.
No, but I'm asking the question, could the Bears defense hold down the Vikings is really the question here.
Yes, they can, but the thing is, as long as they don't fumble 6 or pick 6, how good is Mitchell Trubisky going to be able to be against the Vikings? They may very well hold the Vikings to 10 points. But
can you score 11?
That's the
there's your
they
question
couldn't
of the
against
day.
The Packers. And
that's week 1.
And you know
they
that should
have kicked the ball too, Nagy.
And you know that Adam Thielen, Diggs, and some of these guys are going to get going at some point.
But
in
when
time.
But when is the, we can always say they're going to and they're due. Stephon Diggs has been invisible to this point.
He's been
going
up,
but going up against a Bears secondary, this is not a get right situation for you necessarily. Likewise, Adam Thielen, he's been terrible against Chicago historically. Can this be a get right? I mean, Dalvin Cook is the one guy that's like, all right, he's going to make things go. If he can get some traction on the ground, then maybe you got some space downfield.
This is a one-point line for a reason. The Bears favor by 1 point for a reason. The biggest thing that they have going for them is that it might be raining. There could be some inclement weather, which lends me to the defense. If the ball's a little slippery, I mean, I remember when the Bears used to have a grass field. That made the rain even a bigger deal. But now that they play on turf and that this is a easier situation for the quarterbacks, I like the Vikings in this game. I'm sad to tell you, Mr. Harmon, that your Bears, who are 2-1 and have the second best, could be second best defense in the entire NFL. I mean, it's the Patriots, the Bears, and you got the Bills. Those are the three marquee defenses in the NFL. And if they had reasonable quarterback play, they would be in a much better situation. They're going to have to try to run the ball so much to try to protect Trubisky, because if he ends up in a situation where he has to throw the ball 30, 35 times in a game, that's not where you want to be.
Here's the problem is that they're calling 30 to 35 or more pass plays when they don't need to. They did that week one against the Packers when it was a one-possession game and their defense had more than held serve. Taylor Gabriel, week three hero and waiver wire darling.
That was
out
insane.
With a concussion.
That was insane. He was just racking up free touchdowns.
He had 10 touchdowns in 76 career games prior to last week's explosion. I'm going to take the Bears in the narrow victory at home. This is basically a field goal try, one way or the other. Eddie Pinheiro gets the shot. Next game.
Lady, what did you say?
Jaguars at Broncos.
Here we go. The Jaguars, the winners over the Titans oh so long ago. We watched the Gardner Minshew.
Why'd you have to bring up the Titans?
Well, just because I remember the point I was getting to was Leonard Fournette couldn't fall forward until that 69-yard sprint, right? I mean, that's the old mark of a running back. He had one of those Barry Sanders lines. 1-1-4, -2-6. 72T. All right, so Fournette didn't have the touchdown, but he ran for 69 yards, saved what was otherwise a miserable game. You got DJ Chark, DD Westbrook downfield, O'Shaughnessy a little bit in the red zone for you, but Minshew has been accurate. He's been pinpoint. He'll need to be against this Denver secondary. Offensively, Denver just can't finish drives. This is what we're watching. Look at what he's done, like they moved the football. They just don't finish. His completion percentage has been solid. He's been able to hook up with Sutton and Sanders. They don't finish, and it becomes the Brandon McManus show.
It is, like I said, it is Joe Flacco. He is fool's gold. He is a guy who gets you almost to the promised land and then continues to pump fake you. He's pump fake, pump fake, pump fake, and he never shoots the actual shot. He cannot get it done. It's not his fault. He's a good quarterback. He's a game manager, but he's not special. When people were trying to call him elite after the Super Bowl, I was like, no, don't do it. And here is the biggest key when it comes to quarterbacks. Do not trust John Elway. He picks good defenders. He picks good people on every other position except quarterback and on offense in general. I mean, he got lucky. He found Philip Lindsay. He drafted Royce Freeman. But truth is, there were other options. There were other better options. And that's coming even from an Oregon guy. This Broncos team is not excellent. They're going nowhere fast. They are going to be in the toilet bowl of the AFC West competing with the Oakland Raiders. Except for the Oakland Raiders already have a game. I like the Jacksonville Jaguars. Actually, I'm calling them the Jacksonville Minshews from now on. And Nick Foles is not getting his job back. I'm in. I'm not growing a mustache like a handlebar mustache like this dude, but I like him.
Over under at 38.5. Do we see more than 38.5 points in this game?
I can't guarantee that.
Okay, I'm going to say that. No, we don't. But I am going to take Jacksonville to win because I like chaos. Jacksonville, outright. Denver giving 3 in this game. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday. We got 3 games left for you on the slate. Hey, you want to hear something amazing, though? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically with no limit as to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover cash back match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. 3 more games. Yeah, Chargers-Dolphins headlines the next round. But first, we go to Isaac Lowenkron, who's going to update us on what's trending.
Michael and Georgie and Rappaport reporting this morning that Lions QB Matthew Stafford, a late addition to the injury report as questionable with a hip injury, is expected to play in today's showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs. Cornerback Darius Slay, a game-time decision with a hamstring injury. The Chiefs are 7-point favorites on the road, according to pregame.com. Rappaport also reporting the Chargers running back Melvin Gordon will be active today against the Dolphins, but will likely be used only in an emergency situation and at most in limited snaps. The Chargers a 15-point favorite now for that one. Meanwhile, the hype for tonight's showdown between the Cowboys and Saints already in full swing. Overnight, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones decided to take a late-night stroll down Bourbon Street.
Yes!
By 3 bodyguards, and here is how it sounded, courtesy of a video from at Cowboys Por Vida.
Coming up on the Jerry Springer Show. Sorry.
It brings back memories of college when instead of studying, my roommates and I would stay up very late watching repeated shows of Jerry Springer. And also, this is an observation. I'm not intimating anything, but doing a detailed breakdown of the video, as we're supposed to do here at Fox Sports Radio, I detected Jerry Jones wobbling slightly as he ambled down Bourbon Street.
Alleged.
As so do most people who go down Bourbon Street.
Not intimating anything.
I'm hopeful that if I get to his age, I'm able to just be mobile.
I mean, it could happen after...
Sober or not.
Could happen after too many beignets, maybe a very heavy serving of gumbo at one of Emeril Lagasse's joints down
Nicely
there.
Nicely done.
Could be anything. Anyway, in Major League Baseball on Saturday, Pete Alonso of the Mets set a Major League record for home runs by a rookie hitting his 53rd, surpassing Aaron Judge's previous record from 2017 in their 3-0 victory over the Braves. Justin Verlander, his 3,000th career strikeout and his 300th strikeout of 2019 in the Astros' 6-3 victory over the Angels in Anaheim. Dodgers over the Giants 2-0. They got their 105th win, tying the franchise record established by the 1953 Brooklyn Dodgers. Back to Michael Harmon and George Reister in 10 seconds, but first, a word from Farmers.
Farmers Insurance knows the difference between a car hitting your bumper and a clown car hitting your bumper.
Oh, sorry about that!
Because at Farmers, we've seen and covered it.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Sorry, Michael, George, back to you.
My guy, that's Isaac Lowenkron. Find him on Twitter, at Isaac Lowenkron, giving you some updates, pre, post, and all around of your Los Angeles Chargers, and that's where we start this next round here, George. George Reister with me. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday. Let's head down to Miami.
Lady, what did you say?
Chargers and Dolphins.
All right, 15.5 or thereabouts sitting the line even with all of the injuries. And that shows you the disparity in talent because you got Phillip Rivers, you got Keenan Allen. Seemingly, that's all you need. Everybody else is hurt, seemingly, for the Chargers on offense. We talked about Russell Okung not being there for the offensive line. Travis Benjamin out. Hunter Henry is out. Justin Jackson in a walking boot. He's missing time. Mike Williams is out with a back injury. I mean, just keep going down. Now you activate Melvin Gordon 3 days after he shows back up at facilities. He's going to get half of the money from the holdout, right? There were fines of about $1.2 million. Looks like they're going to split that. So maybe that alleviates some of the acrimony that would have festered.
Nah.
Just a little bit?
If you find
you got 600 grand back.
You know you didn't get it back. If you
find
me $600,000, we're not cool. Do you know? I mean, that's a
guy that's got no. That's a guy that's got to look in the mirror and say, "I cost myself 1.2.
Nah, man,
I stood out for principal, and by week four, I went back to work and gave up
my cash, homie. I came back for the team.
Yeah.
The team.
I came back for the team.
The team is 1-2 right now.
You could sell me that with violinist behind me.
I could have sat out till week eight.
No, you're talking about a guy that knew his value was deteriorating the longer he sat out. You can't sell me, George.
Hey,
can't pull the wool over my eyes.
Had he known that Justin Jackson was going to be out,
he wouldn't have come back.
Exactly. And also, the team is 1-2. What he wanted to happen is actually happening. So his value was actually increasing.
See, I disagree. The next three teams are 0-9 that they're playing, including this sad sack of Miami Dolphins today. They fought Gamely for a half.
Yeah, and I would say that Josh Rosen is showing himself like he comported himself pretty well.
I like him. I liked him in Arizona. I liked him here.
In a horrible situation. Yeah. But you asked me a good question earlier. Can the Chargers lose this game? And the answer is yes. They can lose this game. I don't like the 14.5 points. Obviously, I believe they can cover it, but this is a team that's too beat up. They are going to be trying to just get out of the game with a win.
Yep.
So they can be up 14, 17 points in the fourth quarter, and they are going to back off because they want to stay healthy. They just want to get out of Miami with a win. And again, Josh Rosen, he looks like a serviceable quarterback who's in an untenable situation. I feel bad for him because I do believe he's so talented. And out of all those quarterbacks that were taken in the first round, obviously Lamar Jackson is playing really well. Baker Mayfield has not been playing top tier. And you got Josh Allen. Everybody knows what I think about Josh Allen. And then you got the Mono Man. So I would take Josh Rosen second right now.
All right, Chargers to win, but Miami plus the points?
Yes.
All right, I'm there with you. I think it's too many points. Rosen to Preston Williams late or whatever it becomes. Look, for fantasy purposes, you're not starting Melvin Gordon. If he ends up carrying the ball 10 times and finds the pay dirt.
Oh, he's going
to
play.
He's going to have to play, but I can't reasonably think that he's a guy that I start. Unless I'm in a daily league because he's going to be decent value this week, then maybe I get him there.
Bengals at Steelers.
The only sad thing here is we couldn't flex this out of primetime spot. This is your Monday night game. Yeah. Cincinnati, 18 points per game. Pittsburgh, 16.3 points per game. Mason Rudolph, turnovers. Andy Dalton slinging it to anybody.
This game looked good on paper in the preseason, but when they put the NFL schedules out, but I was thinking this the other day. I said Monday Night Football wishes that they could flex this game out because there are so many other matchups
right now. There's some great matchups
this week. But I have a vested interest in this game. A vested interest because on my fantasy team, I got Joe Mixon, who seems poised to have a breakout game against the Steelers, and I got Tyler Boyd. They need to have a big game, and the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, needs to have another one of those 50-throw games. I need him to have 50 pass attempts because when he does that, the team puts up points. Everybody touches the ball, and I'm not playing against any Bengals. John Ross can get his, too. I just need Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon to get the ball, so I have a vested interest in this game. But Mason Rudolph, he doesn't move the needle as Steelers starting quarterback. He's just okay. He's playing like a rookie should play. And the Steelers are just falling apart right
Vance now. McDonald's banged up. James Conner's been invisible.
Yep.
His second half struggles. We wondered how much of that was real versus imagined and what the deal was. He's been terrible.
You can't just lose stars. I mean, this is the Chip Kelly rule when he was at Philadelphia. You can't just lose some of the better players in the league and think that you're coaching or that just because you have a quarterback that this is going to work. No, you lose Le'Veon Bell, who's one of the best backs and probably the most versatile back in the league. He can run routes, catch the ball. He's a threat everywhere. And you lose Antonio Brown, who for every year in and year out, 100 catches, 10 touchdowns, 1,400 yards. And Juju Smith and James Conner, even though they're good players, they can't fill those shoes.
Well, and that's it, right? Le'Veon Bell was gone last year, and they performed. But you lose Antonio Brown. Juju's still trying to figure out, is he a number one? Obviously losing Ben Roethlisberger, a monster.
Ben didn't want to
loss,
play, man.
But
Ben
goes from being an 8.5-point spread down to it's only a 3-point spread.
I got
when
the
we look
Bengals.
At it here. You're taking the Bengals to win or with the points?
Both.
Look
I'm
at you.
Win, points, everything, the whole shooting
See,
match.
See, as bad as it is for the Steelers, they're not that bad. I'm taking the Steelers and minus a point. Coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. Easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up next, we got one more game to finish off, as well as our Fantasy Ninjas of the Week. Fox Football Sunday rolls on. Welcome back in. It is Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister with you. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Sunday morning. The Fox simulcast, Fox NFL kickoff, Fox NFL Sunday, all the news and information you need. Peter Schrager, Jay Glazer, the best in the business, getting after it and laying it down, getting you your injury updates. We got weather all over, so those are the updates you're going to want to know as well. Chicago, I think it's been raining for the last 72 hours. The tears of Cub fans. Really what it is they were eliminated not too soon.
Hey, man.
Southside kind of showed through there for a couple of seconds.
I don't understand how baseball teams don't have sustained success when you have the exact same players, the exact same managers, and now they want to get rid of Joe Maddon.
Okay. Oh, he's already done. That's a question of whether he's here in Anaheim or he heads out to New York. He's going to be in one of those two spots. But that's baseball talk. There's your 30 seconds. But they showed the field. They showed Soldier Field. It is gray, it is ugly, and it is raining. So be thankful. If you're somewhere where there's no precipitation, raise a glass and just say, I'm glad I'm not you today. He's George Reister, at George Reister. I'm over at Swollen Dome. Great news. There's a quick and easy way you could save money. You could switch to Geico. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com and see how much you could save. One more game.
Lady, what do you think?
Seahawks and Cardinals.
All right, Chris Carson's in the doghouse, so we won't see a ton of him. Rashad Penny back for Seattle, so expect him to have a bigger part of the workload for you fantasy owners out there. You got the Seahawks averaging about 400 yards of offense per game to what, 280 in the air, 110 on the ground, 25 points per game for Kyler Murray. A nice effort against Baltimore a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
We like the moxie that they showed there, but when we talk about them defensively giving up nearly 450 yards of offense per game,
Lord,
and nearly 30 points. So here, Seattle, even though they're on the road and, you know, wishing, wanting, hoping, because Kyler Murray winning would be a great story, he and Larry Fitzgerald continue to make their numbers, and Fitzgerald gets his records and whatever else. But Seattle with Russell Wilson, always one play too many, and on the road they get another big victory here.
This Seattle team has to be mad, Mike, for letting that New Orleans game slip away.
That's
actually,
right.
It didn't slip away. They ended up getting beat up and almost came back.
Right.
That's what it
right.
was.
They got beat out of the gate and then adjusted, right? Again, yep. Teddy Bridgewater, how are you going to run the offense? And it took them some time to acclimate, get it going, and New Orleans still can play some defense. Arizona cannot.
Yeah, see, and Russell Wilson is just like, can I please get a running back? All right. So, I got tired.
Well, but for years he begged for an offensive line.
Well,
they're at least serviceable
now. If you're a quarterback,
now.
That should be the least that they should give you should be an offensive line.
Yeah, in theory.
Yeah, but
they paid all the defensive guys for a long time and said, Russell, you're good enough. You got Doug Baldwin. Just throw it to him.
Yeah, but Lockett, DK Metcalf at wide receiver have showed up big in the absence of, well, the retirement of Doug Baldwin. This Arizona Cardinals team, though, they are pretty good offensively. Their defense stinks out loud right now. They gave up 38 points to Kyle Allen in his first start, and the Panthers hadn't been able to score a whole lot of points before that. I like the Seattle Seahawks to win this game. They are favored by 5.5 points. I do think that Arizona keeps it close, though.
Okay.
That they find a way to keep it within that 5.5 points. It's probably going to be a field goal game, but it's going to be in comeback mode. So Seattle's going to end up 13, 14 points, and then Arizona's going to come back and make it a field goal game.
There you go. Calling on them to beat the spread. I'll take Seattle laying the points on the road. Usually like the home dogs, not so much this week. All right, a couple of quick sleepers in the fantasy realm for you as you roll. Hey, Daniel Jones against Washington, shuffle up and deal. On the other side, if you're really in desperation mode, Case Keenum might be serviceable so long as he's duct taped together. And then, while Jacoby Brissett, people stay away from him for fantasy purposes.
I said it last week.
T.Y. Hilton's got his quad, I'm still feeling good.
I'm doubling down on Jacoby Brissett from last week. He showed up big. And DK Metcalf for the Seattle Seahawks.
One last one for you from me. Looking at Darrell Williams against Detroit, getting himself a little bit of time behind LeSean McCoy. All right, what's the one game to watch for you this week, George? We've done a lot of upset specials, so to try to pick one, I think would be difficult. We've got a number of upsets the board.
Yeah, I'm in on three games. Super quick. I'm in on the Titans Falcons because I'm in the disaster that is going to be the Atlanta Falcons.
Disaster one way or the other. Let's put it that way.
I'm in on the Browns Ravens because I want to see Baker Mayfield get trounced by
the disaster
by the
in waiting. Yes,
and to make sure that see if the Cowboys are for real against the Saints.
There you go. That one's certainly on the radar for me. Minnesota, Chicago, the hometown. But, yeah, Cleveland, Baltimore, Detroit, KC was on the radar. But Stafford being banged up, I'll flip over to that one. But, yeah, I want to watch Baker Mayfield in this offense. Who's he going to blame? Who gets the blame this week when he's completing 50% of his passes?
Oh, Freddie Kitchens. And then he's going to try to rip people for bashing him.
There you go. Fox Football Sunday.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.